Well, if you didn't know it, you're going to know it right now. I'm going to be speaking on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Praise God. Jesus said it was expedient for me to go away from here. But I have to go away so that I can send you the Holy Spirit. And he has, and he continues. His Spirit continues to move amongst us. Amen? And you know, the baptism, there are three baptisms recorded in the Scripture. There's the baptism of repentance that John preached. And then there's the baptism into the body of Christ. When you become saved, you are baptized into the body of Christ. You're a part of the body of Christ. And then there's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're going to address today. And I'm going to be using a lot of Scripture. So, the Scripture I have is the new King James, okay? So, but the ones that we're going to be posting up here, it will be a little bit different because it's we're not able to record slides with the King James, but the new King James that we did with the King James. It's close. So anyway, I don't want you to be out there saying, "Well, that's not the Scripture he's reading," because but it is. It's just the New King James is a little bit different. Takes out some of the these and thous and therefores, and that helps us to understand it a little bit better. Now, the baptism of the Holy Spirit was prophesied by Joel, and it was also shared by John the Baptist, and also shared by Jesus. And in Joel 2:28 and 29, it says, "And it shall come to pass after that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my Spirit in those days." And John the Baptist said in Matthew 3:11, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." And Jesus himself said in Luke 11:9-13, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given unto you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, you will not give him a stone. If he asks for a fish, will you give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asked for an egg, would you give him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him." The baptism of the Holy Spirit was prophesied, as I shared, by the prophet Joel, John the Baptist, and Jesus, and it was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, which was the birth of the New Testament church. And that birth came in Acts 2:1-4. "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there was the sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared unto them divided tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." This was the scene. This was the scene of the birth of the New Testament church, which began as a result of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on that day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost was 50 days after the Passover. Jesus ascended 10 days after the Passover, and then 40 days later, the Holy Spirit came on that day of Pentecost. So praise the Lord. The Apostle Peter also identified the experience in Acts chapter 2 as the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and he also spoke of when Jesus in Acts 1:5 had told them about and has identified this experience as the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, Peter, when he was first sent to minister to the Gentiles, and that was when God came to him in a vision when he was up on the roof, remember, and the sheets came down, if you remember the story, and God was indicating to him that the message he had was not just for the Jews, but it was also for the Gentiles, and we are Gentiles. Amen? We are Gentiles. It says in Acts 11, he went to Caesarea, and he was speaking to these Gentiles, okay? And it says, and as he began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, as it did upon us in the beginning. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptizes with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And so the major sign given in chapter 2 of Acts that the baptism of the Holy Spirit had actually come was that they spoke in tongues. And before we go any further, it is important to point out that the Bible does clearly state that there are two distinct experiences in the Holy Spirit. The new convert, when you first get saved, and you're saved or born again through the Holy Spirit, but there's yet another act of the Holy Spirit, another work of grace, that they call it. We find an example of this in the lives of the disciples. The early disciples were born of the Spirit when Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." This was at one time when Jesus had appeared after he was raised from the dead. He said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." In John 20:22, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And Jesus told these same disciples at that time, he told these disciples, he said, "Wait in Jerusalem until you receive the promise of the Father." In Luke 24:49, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with the power from on high." The power that Jesus spoke of in Luke 24:49 is identified as the power that comes from the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 1:8, it says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Now, these passages of Scripture show that the early disciples received two distinct experiences from the Holy Spirit. Now, in Acts 8:5-8, it says, "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things that were spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles that he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed. And many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in the city." Now this was in Samaria. These people had been converted, okay? They had been baptized in water. They had been healed. They had been delivered of demons and made joyful. You think that'd be enough. But the Lord says, "Oh, no. They still needed to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And so Peter and John came to Samaria from Jerusalem when they had heard that these people had been saved and had been water baptized. And this is what they said in Acts 8:14-17. "Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet it had not fallen on none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the, the Holy Spirit. Now, we're going to take a look. You know, these are examples that the Word gives us when people had received the Holy Spirit. We're going to take a look at what evidence was given. Now, Pastor Tim, a couple of weeks ago, went over an entire message, I think, was on the gift of tongues and the prayer language or the devotional tongue. And that we'll get to that in just a minute. But the evidence of having received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, as we look to the Scripture, is a supernatural sign. It's a supernatural sign. And it's more than just taking it by faith. There's more than just taking it by faith. God gives a tangible, supernatural sign in your body. And your tongue will speak a language that you've never learned. This is called speaking in tongues. And it was a sign to the early church. And my friends, it's a sign today too, as we're going to find out this morning. Mark 16:17 says, "And these signs will follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out demons, and they will speak with new tongues." Speak with new tongues. Acts 2:4 says, "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." And in Acts 10:44-46, it says, "While Peter was yet speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon those that heard the words, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles," that's us folks. And verse 46, "for they heard them speaking with tongues and magnifying God." Verse 46, "for they heard them speaking with tongues." In other words, this was how they knew that they had received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Now, in Acts 19:1-6, it says, "And it happened while Apollos and was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?' And so they said to him, 'We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit.' When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and they prophesied." My friends, it's no different today than it was 2,000 years ago. God is still baptizing people and filling them with the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 13:1 says, "This will be the third sign. I am coming to you by the mouth of two or three witnesses. Every word shall be established." And so this we find by the mouth of two or three witnesses. How many times do we see it related in the Scripture in the book of Acts? Out of the five experiences in the book of Acts concerning the baptism of the Holy Spirit, three of them showed conclusively that speaking in tongues was the sign and they had experienced it. And the other two, it was implied that they spoke in tongues. And so this is a confirmation. In the case of Paul, the Apostle Paul, who wrote so many of the epistles, the Apostle Paul, he said in 1 Corinthians 14:18, "I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all." You see, in the New Testament, you will often find the introduction of truth or doctrine. Okay? You'll see an introduction of truth or doctrine in the Gospels. And then you'll find the experience of the doctrine in Acts, okay? And then in the epistles, you find the explanation of the doctrine. So you see how this comes together, and that's the same thing that happened with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the doctrine. You find it prophesied in the beginning and spoken of, and then you see it, the experiencing it in Acts, and then you finally see it, the explanation coming out of the epistles. And there are two kinds of tongues. And the Apostle Paul further explores that truth quite extensively in the book of 1 Corinthians. He explains the difference between tongues as a sign of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and tongues as a gift of tongues. And the first of all, we understand that the gift of tongues, as Pastor has gone over, and you've even gone over in your Sunday school class, I believe, the gift of tongues, it must be interpreted, must be followed by an interpretation. One scripture that has been very confusing to many is found in 1 Corinthians 12:30, where the implication seems to be that not all people speak in tongues. And that is, do all have gift of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But it's important, it's important to understand that scripture, in the context in which it was written. Paul has just finished defining all of the gifts of the Spirit, gifts of the tongues is one of them. In 1 Corinthians 12:10, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, different kinds of tongues, and to another, interpretation of tongues. The tongues that he is speaking of here is the tongue that is to be used in a congregational setting like we have here. But it has to be followed by an interpretation of the tongue. Not everyone has that gift. But what we're looking to today as a sign of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the devotional tongue that comes with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now that's why Paul said, I wish that you all speak in tongues. In 1 Corinthians 14:5, it says, I wish all of you spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks in tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may be edified. All of the gifts of the Spirit are for edification. Now, in 1 Corinthians 14, 18 and 19, Paul speaks and he says, I thank God I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church, I would rather speak five words with my understanding that may teach others also than 10,000 words in tongues. Now, he's referring to the prayer language there. He's referring to the devotional language of tongues. And it's important that we understand that. We're to pray in the Holy Spirit with a devotional tongue. Now, we have three different examples of that in Corinthians, and we'll read those right now. 1 Corinthians 14, 15. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and that means in tongues. I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with understanding. In 1 Corinthians 14, 2, it says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. And then the last one, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Now, I want to share with you how important it is to be able to minister to the Lord and to be able to pray in such a way. And that is that it happened to me at one time in my life. I was in bed, I was sleeping, and all of a sudden I was woken up. And it was about 11 o'clock at night. And you all know I go to bed early. I'm one of those 9 o'clock people. And my wife, Pastor D, she tends to stay up later. And I'm not sure if she had just come to bed or whatever the situation was. But all of a sudden, I just sat up. And the Holy Spirit just spoke to my heart, and he laid my brother on my heart. And you know how you don't know what to pray? You've ever been there? You just don't know what to pray. You don't know how. And so I just started to pray in tongues. And prayed and prayed and prayed. I must have prayed for an hour or so. And then all of a sudden, the burden left me. And I stopped praying, and I went back to sleep. And so I did talk to my later. I talked to my brother. I called him. And the conversation went something like this. I said, "Dale." He said, "Hi." And I says, "Are you okay?" And he says, "Yeah, I'm okay." And I said, "Did something happen on this day?" And I gave him the date, and he just went quiet on the phone. He said, "What do you mean? Did you hear?" I said, "Hear? I didn't hear anything. What did I hear? Didn't you hear? It was all over the news, the national news." I said, What do you mean?" He was in Fort Leavenworth. He was in military police. And what had happened? And he said, "Well, what about?" And I said, "Well, I was woke up about 11 o'clock. And it got quiet again on the phone. And I said, "And I prayed for about an hour for you." And he said, "Oh, man, you haven't heard. I was on patrol. And we had a disturbance call. And so we were on patrol, and we were coming up to the address that we were supposed to be going to. And as we turned around the corner, there was a man that was standing in the middle of the road that had his .45 or revolver drawn, pointing right at us. And he said, we don't understand what happened. But instead of firing, he waited until we went off to the side, and he fired into the side of the car. And then there was a exchange, and he was taken into custody. He was shot, but he was taken into custody. And he said, and I said, "Well, Dale, that happened about 1 a.m., didn't it?" And silence again. He said, "Yes. I was up at 11 in Leavenworth, Kansas. 12, it's 1. 1 o'clock. So the devotional tongue, the tongues that God gives you with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's powerful. He to this day really feels that God was with him through that whole incident. And it was the unknown tongue is a tongue given by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's not the gift of tongues. And I believe it's for today. Amen? Amen. Now, there's a question out there that is the baptism of the Holy Spirit for today? There's a portion of even the church that embraces the fact that they believe that it's not for the day. This is a valid question, and the answer is, and it's answered in the context of the New Testament, the primary scripture used for those that believe that it's not for today is taken from 1 Corinthians 13:8, and it says, "Love never fails, but whether there is prophecy, they will fail, and whether there are tongues, they will cease, and whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away." And those that embrace this doctrine, they feel that all of these tongues have vanished away or passed away because the Bible has been given to us and it's been canonized. The only problem with that is that it says that knowledge will pass away too. And to my understanding, knowledge still is the knowledge is still there. And many of you understand that a lot of the gifts of the Spirit are still in operation. But for some reason, because you can't understand the tongue, we tend to want some like to question whether it's even acceptable today. You know, we have all been called to receive a gift. And that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's a gift from God. It's a gift from Jesus. Acts 2:39 says, "For the promise is to you and your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." That's who the gift is for, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This passage of Scripture makes it clear that this gift, which was received here, which we have already seen to be clearly the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is for as many as the Lord God would call. And I'm going to ask you the question today, have you been called by God? It says here that you have. If so, then this experience is for you. You know how I know that? God's Word. The gift and callings of God are irrevocable. Romans 11:29, listen, folks, says, "For the gifts of God and the calling of God are irrevocable." That means God cannot take back a gift He has given to the church. It's irrevocable. So as He's given it in the past, He gives it today. The question is, how do we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? How do we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Well, we look to the Scripture and the examples that are given. One is the laying on of hands, right? That happens today too. There have been instances where you've experienced it, I've experienced it. We've been in services where they're laying on of hands and people were baptized in the Holy Spirit. They received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes, like when Peter spoke, it says when he spoke, the Holy Spirit fell. So laying on hands. When he just spoke the word, as in a service like this, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit fell. And people were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And in the upper room, they were gathered together when they were praying. They were praying. The baptism of the Holy Spirit fell. And it's no different then as it is today. My lovely wife was baptized in the Holy Spirit while I was sleeping. She was sitting in our living room area, praying to God. She'd heard about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. She wanted it, and she was praying, and God baptized her right there. No one had to bop her in the head or lay hands on her or anything like that, even though that God uses that. She was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And she was so excited. And I'm the type of guy that said, "Well, hope it works out for you." It worked out for her. And then when I saw the change in her life and I see the change in other people's lives, it doesn't make you any better than any other person, but it makes you better than who you are now. And I think we want to be the best witness and testimony for Jesus that we can be. Amen? And that's why God gives you the baptism of the Holy Spirit, so you can go out in the highways and byways and share the gospel with power, with confidence, with anointing. I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We owned a small corner market at the time. I received baptism of the Holy Spirit in the back room. I was in the back room, and I was praying, and a little, it's a corner market, just a small store, you know, in Minnesota. And I was praying, and I was praying, and all of a sudden, God anointed me, and I began to speak in tongues. I had a wonderful time worshiping the Lord. And we're going to talk about just in a minute now how you can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and what you should expect. But I want to tell you, it was glorious. I was started speaking in tongues. I had to shut up, though, when a customer would come. And I'd run up to the front, take his money, and kind of usher him out the door. And then I'm back in the back, and all of a sudden I'm speaking in tongues again. You know. Then another customer, we had a bell, and it would ring at that. Oh, no. And I'd go out there, and I had definitely an experience. And that's been with me. I can speak in tongues anytime. It doesn't make me any better than you or anyone else. But, oh, my, does it give me an opportunity many times to come right into the presence of God and know God and pray effectively. I don't know how to pray sometimes. I could have prayed for Dale. I wouldn't have known what to pray. But God was praying, and my heart was being poured out, and I was praying for him, and God preserved him. To this day, he believes that. Praise the Lord. And now, oh, this is the good one. Are you ready? Kids, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for you too. Amen. It's for all of us. Anyone who knows Jesus. And I want to tell you what happened to me. I was a counselor at children's camp. Okay, children's camp. Camp you send your kids off to every summer. Yay, get a whole week reprieve. No. I was a counselor, pastoring, and a counselor at the camp. When I was in my churches, I always did the youth, and I also did vacation Bible schools and things like this. So I love kids, and you wouldn't know that now, would you? But I love kids. And what happened that year? There was a man that was one of the counselors. He had got injured at camp. He broke his leg, believe it or not, and he. They took him to the doctor. They had x-rays. There was a break. And they were sending him home. Well, that afternoon, he went to the doctor. They splinted his leg. And then he came back to the camp. And we were just starting the evening rally. And he told one of the other counselors, "I got to go. I'm going to have to leave. I'm in so much pain. I can't hardly stand it. I'm not going to be able to stay at camp." And so what happened? We started to worship the Lord. And all of a sudden, he comes up and he says, "The pain is gone. The pain is gone. It's not there anymore." And he said, and he had faith. All of a sudden, he says, "I believe God's healed me." He took off the splint. And before long, that guy was running around the campgrounds. He was running around. And the kids were like this. And they explained to the kids, "Well, this is God, the power of God." And the Holy Spirit fell upon that group as they were worshiping, and all of a sudden, the kids were repenting and accepting Jesus. And I began to pray with some of these kids for salvation, and the Holy Spirit just impressed me to share with the Holy Spirit with them, just you know, explain to them about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so I had a real quick explanation, a short explanation, and I. And I shared it with them, and all of a sudden, God anointed one and baptized him in the Holy Spirit. A young girl, and she started to speak in tongues. And then there was the other counselors started to say, well, they wanted to pray for the baptism too, for the baptism. They started to pray. Well, the thing was, I don't know why, I wasn't special, but everyone I was praying for was getting baptized in the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit. Pretty soon I had counselors bringing them to me, saying, would you pray with this one? I didn't have the magic touch or anything. It was just that the Holy Spirit was there. But the faith was evident. As the faith was in the kids, they were just, no one can believe as a kid believes. I really, God, he tells us that we need to have faith as a little child if we're going to enter the kingdom of God, if we're going to enter into heaven. And so there were kids getting baptized in the Spirit all over the place. And then there was this one little boy that was brought to me, and I was praying with him, and he wanted it so bad, he was crying, and I said, now just calm down. Calm down. God will give you a sign that you've been filled with the Holy Spirit. I says, you believe that? He says, yes, I believe that. I says, you've been filled with the Holy Spirit. God's going to give you a prayer language. He's going to do it. But you've got to do it. I mean, you can't expect him to zap you and make you do something you didn't want to do. He's going to give you a couple of syllables or whatever, and you're going to share those couple of syllables, and it's going to, and God will expand upon it. And the other kids just took it like that, and they just went with it. And he was just crying. And he was so sad. He was the only one I prayed for that didn't receive the sign. And he was just devastated. And you know what happened? He went back to his cabin. And this is true. The counselor grabbed me in the morning and told me about it. He says he went back to the cabin. And he finally just kind of relaxed. He was like, I'm going to get baptized. He relaxed. And he bit into an apple. He bit into an apple and just burst into tongues. God gave him his prayer language. And, you know, so it happens with children, too. And there's nothing more powerful than to have your kids pray for you. Nothing more powerful than that. Great. So anyway, oh, man, you know, I'm excited. I can't wait to see what God wants to do even here this morning. You know, I believe God wants to baptize someone this morning. I believe God wants to refill someone this morning. You see, the word says, Ephesians 5:8 says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And that word means continually filled. You know, you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit. You know, I heard one guy say it this way. Well, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit 50 years ago and have been in the way ever since. And I said, yeah, you have been in the way. Get out of the way. You know, it's not that you get baptized one time and you got it. It's a continual thing that you allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life. It's a continual thing as he fills you. So there's a continual filling. You need to be refilled time and time again, sometimes every day. You say, God, fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with your presence. Praise you, Jesus. What are the requirements? Our hearts must be properly prepared through repentance. You need to ask God to forgive you and let your sins be forgiven and be a part of the family of God. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Andrew Check.
Praise the Lord.
Boy, you hear the kids, Brian. Andrew Check.
Praise the Lord.
Okay. So you need to repent, and then you need to be hungering and thirsting. You know, it says in the scripture, it says in Matthew 5:6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be what? Filled. They shall be filled. And then there needs to be a sense of expectation. Sense of expectation. And where does that come? That comes in Luke 11:9-13. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and he who knocks it will be opened. And if a son asks for bread from a father among you, will you give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will you give him a serpent instead of the fish? Or if he asks for an egg, would you give him a scorpion? And if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And lastly, there must be an active response to your faith. Now let me explain that. God responds to your faith by baptizing you in the Holy Spirit. And then we need to respond to our faith. We need to respond. How do we respond? In Acts 2:4, it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Their response was that they began to speak in tongues. Now, it may not be a vocabulary that you can understand. It may sound like gibberish. It may sound like just certain syllables. But God will expand upon it as you grow with Him. So the faith is not just having faith, but it's acting on your faith. You see, the Bible says that faith without works is dead. I've got three or four scriptures here, but I'm not going to use them today. But I'll give them to you. James 2:20 and James 2:26. And I'm hoping that this will be the first day or an opportunity for you to be refilled with the Holy Spirit today. Praise God. I'd like to have if we could have some, we're going to sing some music.